land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Welcome back into the show. This is hour number two of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. This is Thursday, February 22nd, 2024 edition. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of the show today. Joining us on the line is a longtime Patriot brother conservative friend of ours. Vicky and I love Pat and Angie Kolbeck. We met him the first time, and he doesn't even remember this. There was a Tea Party group that was having a meeting, a function years ago. I believe it was in the spring, summer of 2010, when this unknown rocket scientist was up on the stage, dressed kind of like a nerd a little bit, and he was going to be running for state senator. The Tea Party group at the time was supporting him down there in his district. Lo and behold, he got elected to be a state senator, never, ever serving in Lansing before, even a state rep or a county commissioner, I believe. He went right from the private sector, got elected to state senator, and ended up meeting him at CPAC event there at the church in Holt in 2011 when we started working together on passing Right to Work. State Senator, former gubernatorial candidate Patrick Kolbeck joins us on the line. Good morning, sir.
Hey, what a very nice introduction. Yeah, that's a good blast of the past here. By the way, I love the new bumper music with the Don't Tread on Me theme. That is perfect.
Yes, sir. It's a theme of my show for 14 years that we've been doing this on podcasts, and then we owned the radio station and been on the air since 2012. And I've known you ever since. And we, you know, became friends immediately, fighting the good fight. You wanting to do things a little differently than the way I wanted to do things. Yeah. But ultimately, we got Right to Work passed. Thank God for Norm Hughes and all that that we put together back then. But, Pat, you have been serving in Lansing when you were state senator. For those of you that didn't know this background, I wanted to bring this up for a reason. You actually served with regards to committee assignments regarding our elections. Tell the folks what you did in Lansing back when you were a state senator regarding elections.
Yeah, my second term, I was vice chair of the Election and Government Reform Committee. And my first act in doing so was to go into total nerd mode, as you were alluding to before, and actually diagram out all the election processes so that I could evaluate all the bills that were being proposed in context of how it would change the current process. Would it make it stronger? Would it make it weaker? Whatever. And I actually reached out to Catherine Engelbrecht out at True the Vote. And I said, hey, I'd love to have your insights in Michigan's election systems. And she said, you know, it's a great idea. We should hold a committee hearing where we go off and have a review on it. And Senator Dave Robertson was the chair at the time, and I kept bugging him and bugging him like a kid on the way to Disney World saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Right.
And I got denied a committee hearing. This is back in the 2016-2017 time frame, you know, right in the wake of the Jill Stein recount where we found, you know, all kinds of anomalies in the city of Detroit in particular, where you'd have a precinct with, where the poll book said that 306 ballots were issued, but only 50 ballots can be found in the ballot container. So I said, we got to do an investigation on this, did investigations, called Bill Schuette to do it, but ultimately wanted to have a hearing on it. But it came down to politics, and Robertson was told to stand down by Senate Majority Leader Arlen Meekhoff, and that's what he dutifully did.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And I'm going to hold you on that point right there, because we got to go to a hard break. We're speaking again with State Senator Patrick Kolbeck, former gubernatorial candidate, who, man, if we had got him elected governor, folks, we'd have a different state today.
You may have.
Humble opinion. Yes, sir. We take a short break. Pat, we'll be right back.
All right.
Politics doesn't belong in the classroom, nor does the woke agenda. Hi, it's Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. As a physician, I know the importance of education. I want every child to have the same opportunities I did. That's why we must return to teaching academics rather than confusing children on gender issues. I will fight for the future of this generation. Vote Dr. Sherry O'Donnell for U.S. Senate. Paid for by Doc Sherry for Senate.
Hey Patriots, Veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth. MAGA water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, veteran-owned. Go to MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
If you are a PIE&G electric customer, call and get on the PIE&G Connect Express today. Call 800-423-6634 to get connected to the best, fastest, most reliable fiber internet connection in northern Michigan. Faster than Frontier, speedier than Sunrise, all at an affordable price. So call them today at 800-423-6634 and get on the PIE&G Connect internet train. All aboard!
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Welcome back into the show. Second segment of our number two. Staying on through the break with us is Patrick Kolbeck. And Pat, I want to talk about something you said right before the break. And as soon as you unmute your mic, we'll be able to get you into the studio board. One of the things that I want to talk to you about is when you mentioned Jill Stein, and she is actually a person running for president on a different party that called for a recount. And because of Wayne County, specifically the city of Detroit, during that process while you were a state senator of the 2016 election. That recount exposed some flaws and problems and issues with the city of Detroit, Wayne County. Explain that to the audience.
Yeah, well, that was actually my first real insight into problems with our elections, to tell you the truth. So I had some staffers, Penny Kreider and Ken Kreider. Well, Ken Kreider is Penny's husband, but
sure.
Yeah, Ken's not a staffer. But Penny went down to oversee the recount in the wake of Jill Stein's calling for that in the wake of the 2016 election. And she was at the precinct where the poll book said that 306 ballots were issued, but the ballot container associated with that precinct only showed 50. So that could indicate a variety of things. Number one, it indicated poor chain of custody around the ballots. Number two, it could have indicated that somebody liked the votes on those 50 ballots and decided to recycle them, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
But the bottom line is there was an issue with the way Detroit was conducting their elections that needed to be investigated. And I called for an investigation in the wake of that. I asked Ruth Johnson, and who was Secretary of State at the time, as she's now a state senator, and also Bill Schuette, who was the Attorney General at the time. I said, we need to go off and do an investigation on this. This doesn't sound right. And Bill Schuette didn't do anything, or at least never reported on. He never found any infractions worth prosecuting. He found 31 counts of, Ruth Johnson did her own investigation just on looking at the data, not actually going on site and doing a field audit or anything, just looking at the database that the state had. She
right.
identified 31 counts of voter fraud, and that those 31 counts were handed over to Attorney General for investigation, and he went through the motions and came up with a big nothing burger with zero prosecutions and indictments. So
yes. Now, on that point, though,
yeah.
You also found out that, what was it, 70% of the absentee ballots and the different things processed within the city of Detroit actually proved that they were not even able to be recounted because they were so badly, chain of custody and other issues came about. Is that correct?
Well, I don't remember what it was back in 2016. I do remember that in the 2020 primary, 72% of the precincts couldn't be recounted because they were unbalanced. And when you say that they're unbalanced, it means that the number of ballots issued doesn't equal the number of ballots cast. And so that could mean that somebody injected a whole bunch of ballots that were not officially issued.
Yep.
Or it could be that somebody's thrown in the trash some ballots that were actually cast. We don't know. And that's why you are concerned when you see them unbalanced.
So when they're unbalanced, Pat, doesn't that mean they can't be recounted?
They can't be recounted. And so... And there's a reason for that, because you don't know who cast which ballot, right? So you can't
sure.
go off and so there's no good solution on this except maintain your chain of custody and make sure your precinct's balanced.
Exactly. Exactly.
But they don't do that. And in the general election in 2020, Detroit improves significantly from 72% of those precincts being unbalanced to 71%.
Whoa! Huge improvement. Yeah.
Which was the basis of our Republican canvassers in Wayne County not certifying the election.
And, right. Now, on that point, we now fast forward to 2024. You wrote a book on this, you know, the 2020 coup, and what we know, what we can find out, what we can do about it. But the most important part of it, here we are again, Pat, and now we're in 9 days of early voting. And I've got a very simple question that I asked my wife last night. She came home from work. We don't have enough poll workers in Torch Lake Township, Antrim County. The clerk reached out to my retired wife, 77 years old, and said, Vicki, you've been a board of canvasser. You've been a challenger. Will you please go get trained and help us work the polls? Pat, they've had total, since this started voting, early day voting on Saturday, they've had 38 people. And then I hear on Steve Gruber's news.
38 people who voted?
No, 38 people who voted in five days since Saturday, right?
But everybody wanted this, Randy.
But here's my question. On Steve Gruber's Michigan Talk News Network, They're reporting that, according to Jocelyn Benson, you know, 736,000, 17,000, whatever the heck the number was this morning, have already voted. I asked Vicky last night, I said, Vicky, have you been turning in your tabulator tapes every night to the Secretary of State out of Torch Lake Township? Have you been sending it to Cheryl Guy, the clerk over at Antrim County? She goes, no. I said, then how in the heck are they reporting how many thousands of people have already voted early in this first five, whatever, 6 days of early voting? How do they know that number when nobody's reporting the numbers? How are they finding that? How are they reporting that?
Yeah, the poll books. They're all connected to the internet and coordinating and relaying that data up to the qualified voter file. So in today's day and age, you don't even need to know what the vote tallies are. All you need to know is who voted, and that's what they're tracking.
And now they also know by who has voted, Pat, who hasn't voted.
Yep.
Explain that process to the audience.
So when somebody checks in at a early voting center, they're going to be given a ballot. When that happens, the poll book is updated to show that they were issued a ballot. And guess what? You know that whole internet connectivity thing that they said doesn't exist? Well, it certainly does exist. And because that's how they try to sync up all the poll book records, supposedly, across all the different early voting sites, because every county has these early voting sites, and I've analyzed Ottawa County in detail. And by the way, if you want to go over, get a proctology exam on the early voting process that they put together in Ottawa County, just go to letsfixstuff.org, and I think it's the first post up there, and you can dig in on it, and you can actually read the actual process that they've outlined on it. But the bottom line is they need these poll books now to be connected to the internet so that they can coordinate and ostensibly make sure that somebody can't vote at more than one early voting center at a time. And so when that happens and you're updating the QBF and you're updating the electronic poll books, anybody who has access to that data knows who has voted and who has not voted.
Absolutely.
And therefore, this reminds me, this is a call, a call to action for folks. And I got to be careful how I say this.
Yes.
But I think it's important that people go off and take a shot at doing the early vote. Walk up and cast your ballot and vote at one of these early voting centers. And then do me a favor and go off and on the same day, go to another voting center and ask them if it would be okay for you to cast a ballot. Don't cast that ballot. Just ask them if I could be issued another ballot. And see how well their system is actually working at preventing people from voting multiple times throughout the day.
Ah, very good. Because don't accept the ballot. Just request it and see if they're willing to give it to you.
Absolutely. And I'm sure they'll come up with something that says that this is a bad thing to do or whatever. But no, we're just trying to
checking the system.
Right. And there's nothing bad being done on that or anything.
Yep.
It's just, but gosh darn it. I'm tired of them lying about this. They literally have designed this to the whole purpose of early voting was to centralize the management of our election processes. 9 out of 10 election days are now managed by the county, not by the local election officials. Let that sink in. We used to be a decentralized election body here in the state of Michigan. We are no longer decentralized. It is more and more centralized. These machines make it possible, but also this early voting just forces it upon all these local clerks who are struggling with how the heck am I supposed to support 9 days of early voting, and they immediately have to punt to the county to provide the resources needed to do it.
Pat, I want to ask you, too, you have an ongoing FOIA request situation. Vicky and I donated some money to it. Others have. I saw it on my Twitter X account. Explain that process. What's happening in your life regarding this FOIA request?
Well, I have over 100 FOIA requests. I think I know which one you're talking about, but
the big one.
Yeah, the one that we digging into some records that have been obtained by Yehuda Miller and others. I found it interesting that the Attorney General was talking about special agents being deployed on election night in 2020 on what they referred to as special missions. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I go, what kind of special missions is the Attorney General engaged in on election night? Now, I know personally from my time out in Detroit, where a couple special agents were on special missions. They were making sure that I could not oversee the tabulation of the election results at the county level. And they did everything they could to bar me from overseeing that as a duly certified poll challenger. So I'm kind of curious what these other special missions were, particularly in the 2020 election. Were they running interference for folks that were committing fraud? Were they covering up the fraud themselves? What were they instructing law enforcement to cover up fraud on their behalf? What were they actually doing? And so I don't know what's going to come out of this. Usually FOIA requests are there's not much money involved at all. But in this case, what I've noticed is that there's a pattern. Whenever it's information that they don't want you to get, they put a big price tag on it. And this one, they're charging over $12,000 to get access to email communications for gentleman inside the Attorney General's office, Thomas Fabus, who is ostensibly the guy giving all these special missions out to special agents within the Attorney General's office. And so I asked for his communications for a period of 3 months, and they charge us over $12,000 for that.
Now, so you have to raise this money in order to afford to submit that money to them in order to get your information you're seeking. Is that correct?
Well, we've also benefited from the Grassroots Alliance, because I'm president of the Michigan Grassroots Alliance, which is where we issued these FOIA requests from. By the way, if you want to contribute to this effort, go to rocketfuelfund.org or migrassrootsalliance.org. They point to the same spot. And you can support the effort. I put down the deposit for it because I don't want them to have time to go off and delete stuff or give them any more time to delete stuff than.
Yes.
So
your deposit has basically frozen their correspondence that you're seeking through the FOIA.
I think technically when I request the FOIA, it freezes it, but they don't usually respect that. I just want to keep the wheels moving as fast as possible.
Okay.
And we did win a court case, remember? So we had a penalty against Wayne County for FOIA obstruction previously.
Yes.
So that covers part of the cost, not all of it. But I think so far people have contributed around a little over $400 towards the $12,000. So we still got some ways to go, but
yes.
We got to keep this moving. I'm very curious to see where these people were delegated. And I get very nervous nowadays because I know more and more of their communications are not being done via email because they're the easiest thing to do a FOIA request on.
Sure.
I'd rather do text messages and stuff. But
well, I've been told that they are buying burner phones and they are text messaging because FOIA requests on emails, get to the actual communication. I want you to text me those websites and I'm going to put them out on the show. And I'm also going to turn them into the podcast so that we can get donations for you. Like I said, Vicki and I, we donated, I believe, $50 to get you started, and others are starting to donate as well. But again, the shortest website for people to go to donate right now while we're on this podcast.
Rocketfuelfund.org. None of them are short. I'm an engineer. I like to have long.
Yeah, I know. It drives me crazy. Okay, rocketfuelfund.org.
Yeah, and it's the home for Michigan Grassroots Alliance. It's a DBA for Michigan Grassroots Alliance.
Yep. Got it. I appreciate it. All right, listen, we greatly appreciate all your efforts. Stay strong. I know Tim Roberts from Patriots Relief wants to meet with you there in CPAC. I don't know.
I'm not at CPAC. No. I got a badge, but I got homework to do. I can't go.
Oh, okay. You're not going. Okay.
No,
very good.
I'm doing everything I can to make sure we secure this 2024 election. So there's a lot on my plate right now. Go to electioncrimebureau.com, by the way. I'm going to be updating and releasing that website here shortly. I'm working with Mike Lindell on that. So
excellent. Text it to me. I'll announce it on the show.
Okie dokie.
Thank you, brother. We greatly appreciate you. God bless.
All right. Bye.
On the hour news break of hour number two, we'll be right back. Michigan.